Entertainment Centers, even Murphy Beds. 314-781-9000, St. Louis Closet Company. Call for a free in-home estimate.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Joe Hipperson will join us hopefully in a couple of minutes. The autopsy report just came in on Philip Seymour Hoffman. He had heroin, cocaine, Xanax, and amphetamines in his system. Any one of those, you take a lot of them, that's not going to be good for you.
No.
You take a lot of all of those, and
that's a death sentence there.
That's a guy who did not want to feel normal.
No.
Whatever normal was for him, and I guess, wasn't he sober for like 23 years?
Yeah. Yeah, from what I read, he... Yeah, long time, and then he had a drink, one rap party for one movie. I can't remember what it was a couple years ago, and that pretty much did it.
Wow, very very sad. There was a story that came out a couple of days ago about a National Enquirer had run a piece about a guy by the name of David Barr Katz, who the Enquirer said was his lover, and that apparently that they had done drugs together. And this guy, David Barr Katz, was taking his 14-year-old son to school, and the son said, "Dad, there's something online about you and Phil being lovers." And Katz joked about it. Said, "Oh, yeah, well, Phil would get a big kick out of that." And then when he got home from dropping the kids off at school, he looked it up, and he said, "This is completely not false. Not only are they making stuff up here, they're actually quoting me in this article." He quoted Katz as saying that he and Hoffman had been lovers who had free-based cocaine the night before his death, and said Katz had claimed that he had seen him using heroin many, many times. And then this guy Katz looks at his phone, and there are all the phone calls and all the emails and the texts from all these people who had heard about this in just that hour that morning. Turns out that Katz had never spoken to the Enquirer that week or ever. And that Philip Seymour Hoffman had never used drugs in his presence. So he immediately filed a libel suit against the National Enquirer. 2 days later, the Enquirer buckled, printed an apology, and paid him a settlement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, full page ad in what, the New York?
New York Times. Yeah. And now he has set up a fund to help out playwrights in Philip Seymour Hoffman's name, using the money that came in from that.
That is unbelievable. Why would they do something like that, thinking and knowing? I guess they get publicity from it, but then it just shows.
I think it was somebody else that had the same name, from what I read, and the reporter and them, they all fell for it, and this guy just told them.
Somebody who claimed to be this guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, don't bother checking. That's the sort of thing you want to go right with. Just run with that without actually bothering to double check things.
Cow.
Yeah, nice job, Enquirer.
Hit the B square.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Oric, 7 locally owned and operated Oric home centers in the St. Louis area. You can also see their stuff online at O-R-E-C-K. That's Oric.com. Oric sponsors this segment where we talk about movies and what's happening in the nightclubs with Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Paul Harris, I am doing great, man. It's a beautiful day. It's just the perfect temperature. I'm loving everything. It's all good.
Good. Well, we're heading into some ugly weekend weather here. The good news is we'll be able to stay home Sunday night and watch the Academy Awards. And a little later on in this hour, I'm going to play a piece of an interview I did with John Wilson, who's the guy behind the Razzie Awards, which they will hand out tomorrow night for the worst in films. And before we get to the Oscars for this week, are there any movies that are opening up today that we need to talk about that you've seen?
There's only one movie we're talking about, sir, and that is Non-Stop, starring Mr. Action Extraordinaire Liam Neeson. You know, I realized something while watching Non-Stop. Liam Neeson has turned into the Harrison Ford of the late 80s and the majority of the 90s. He really is that go-to guy now.
Yeah.
He has.
I was shocked when I found this out, because I was going to go to the premiere the other night, and I didn't, and my wife and I ended up having dinner together, which was nice, and now I'm reading all these things, and we'll see what your review here is in a second. But I was curious, because Liam Neeson's been doing these action movies like Taken and Taken 2 and this one and one or two others for a couple of years. So I said, well, how old is he? I wonder. So I asked Siri, and Siri told me Liam Neeson is 61.
Yeah. Wow.
I was shocked at that.
Did you think he was older?
No, I thought he was like 50.
Oh.
You see, if you look at Liam Neeson's career and you go back to the time before Taken, you know, if you look at him in a movie like Love Actually, which I absolutely adore, I think he's brilliant in that film.
Yep.
The movie itself is flawless. I love it. And he looks like an older guy to me. He doesn't look like he's in his 30s or whatnot. He looks like he's getting close to knocking on the doorstep of 50. But in these action movies, they're directing, and it's not so much direction, it's the editing and the choreography they do with the fights, where it does look kind of believable. And when it comes to Nonstop, you can compare it, if you want to, you know, Unknown, which was another one of his Taken kind of movies. You got Taken 1, Taken 2. You had The Gray, where it's him versus a bunch of wolves in the, you know, in the snow. And he does a really good job in close quarters. And that's why Taken 2 didn't do so much for me. It was way too wide. It was way too in the open, if you will, which is why Nonstop really works, because it's in close quarters. Nonstop, I'll tell you, I can't stand movie reviews where it goes way too deep into it. I don't want to spoil anything. I'll make it very simple. He is a marshal, and he's got some issues. He's got some demons. I mean, it's very clear that he would much rather be, you know, chasing a really strong, stiff drink with a couple of smokes than do anything related to his job at this point in his life. But he begrudgingly decides, okay, fine, I'll go on this one flight to London. I'll do it, whatever. I don't want to be here. Who cares? So he's kind of got that Harrison Ford gruff kind of attitude, and it works. So he's sitting down, hanging out on the flight. Suddenly he starts getting a text message on his private number that unless $150 million needs to go into a secure account, if it doesn't, a passenger is going to die. And a passenger will continue to die every 20 minutes until he finds a way to cough up the money. So he starts looking around. Who could be doing this? Is this some kind of a prank that this is his private number?
Let me just stop you right there, because as an air marshal, he should at that point just get up on the plane and say, who does not have their phone in airplane mode? Who is now texting on this plane? That's against the law right now. Stop it.
It's probably a good idea that we didn't see the movie together, because you probably would have been screaming that at that exact moment. Whereas I checked my brain at the door, and I understood, okay, it's a movie. I get it. So he's gonna give that little that little look to everybody and try and see, can I read their faces and figure out who the bad guy is? And it works. It really does. He tips off one of the flight attendants, tips off the captain, says, look, this is going down. It's probably ludicrous, but I'm just letting you be aware of it. Well, spoiler, there's a body.
Mm-hmm.
And then he suddenly has to take everything very seriously. What's interesting about this movie is that you never know. And there's a lot of times where you think you can guess, but I'll tell you what, I will give a silver dollar to somebody that can guess the ending of this film within 30 minutes of the ending. There's no way. Even when it comes to the big climactic, oh my gosh moment, you're not going to be able to pin it. And I think it's brilliant how they did that. It's woven very, very well. It has very close quarters, which means if you're in one of the airplane bathroom and you're in there with Liam Neeson, you're going to get a smackdown, and it's going to remind you of old-school Sean Connery, James Bond fights. It's brutal. There is only one area where I did roll my eyes, and if you've seen the trailer for the movie, you know what I'm talking about. It involves, a loss of cabin pressure and Liam Neeson and amazing slow-motion ability being able to, get off the cap from his gun, and it's a very cool shot. It's a great money shot. This is pretty much the way an action movie is made nowadays when it's done right. You check your brain at the door. You have a good leading man. You're invested in it. You don't really care too much about the secondary characters. There's not many other big names in here. You will see Julianne Moore, who does what Julianne Moore does in a movie. I mean, she plays her part well. I'm saying it's a good ride. It is a good escape. It is a film going nonstop. And I'm shocked to say it's a February release, and it is great. And I think it will possibly edge out the Lego movie and get the top spot, which is good for Liam Neeson, because he's one of the voice actors in the Lego movie. This guy's going to have his name on the top spot for weeks to come. I'm saying that Nonstop is definitely worth checking in, and I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. It is not the reinvention of film, but it is one heck of a good ride with a great ending. And once you're invested in it from the very beginning, it never lets up. It never throws you any curves that are ridiculous.
Joe, if you don't mind, since you've now put a silver dollar on the line, I'd like to predict what happens at the end of the movie. And I have not seen the movie, so this is really just a stab in the dark. I'm going to predict that at the end of the movie, the credits roll. Am I right?
Wow.
Do I win a book?
I owe you a dollar.
Okay. Spoiler. I'm sorry. I should have said spoiler alert. Yeah. You're right, Dan.
It's a good ride, man. It really is a good ride.
You know what? Sometimes we need some good escapist entertainment, and we haven't had any for, well, I'm going to go with 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, no, I mean, outside of the Lego movie, which I'm going to continue to pimp as much as I possibly can, this is probably the best option you've got going this weekend. If you want to see a new film, is to go and see Nonstop. It is better than the movie Unknown. It's better than The Gray. It's better than Taken 2. It's the Liam Neeson that you loved as an action guy from the first Taken film. And it's very consistent. It's a very consistent film.
All right. Let's turn our eyes then to the Academy Awards on Sunday night. I think there are a few categories where the winner is a lock, but I think that the big category of Best Picture might actually come down to, you know, something fairly close.
I agree, because all the acting ones, it's. I don't want to say this. I've never said this. I'm not that excited about the Oscars on Sunday because I pretty much already know what I'm going to see.
Well, let me run down the nominees in these categories, and then you tell me what you think is going to happen. We'll start with the big one. Unlike the Oscars, which put Best Picture at the end, we're going to put it at the beginning here. You got American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. And what's amazing about this year is I've actually seen 8 of the 9 nominees.
Wow.
I've been going to way too many movies in the last year or so. And by the way, of the 8 movies that I saw, all of them except 12 Years a Slave, they were all pretty darn good movies. Sometimes you get a movie that's nominated for Best Picture and you go, who saw that? Who thought that was a good movie? But this year, I'm sure that 12 Years a Slave is as great as everybody, including you, has been saying it is. So this is a pretty darn good year for nominees.
No, it's a great year for nominees because there's no real throwaway. There's nowhere, they had to make it to 10. They didn't go for 10. They went with 9.
Yep.
I mean, if there would have been a 10th one, I don't know what that film would have been, but it would have been kind of a throwaway just to make the numbers match up. I just don't want to sound like I'm falling in the cattle line here, but 12 Years a Slave is going to have one heck of a hard time not winning that award, man.
You don't think Gravity has a chance?
I don't mean to skip ahead or anything, but I'll say Gravity is a lock when it comes to Best Director.
Hmm. I think that Gravity has a chance. 12 Years a Slave is going to be one of those movies that was either a big deal in Hollywood or could be like last year with Lincoln. Remember when Steven Spielberg did his Lincoln movie? It got all that praise and it got all those nominations. I think it might have gotten more nominations last year than any other. But in the end, it did not end up winning Best Picture.
That's very, very true. But Lincoln and 12 Years a Slave, they're very, very different films. I am not going to sit down and rewatch Lincoln anytime soon. But I would rewatch 12 Years a Slave, and that, I think, is a testament to all the actors involved, because it is an amazing cast, it's told very, very well, and you are really invested in it. No disrespect, I knew how Lincoln was ending. I mean, I got it.
With credits. That's how they all end.
Yeah, that's right. Silver dollar with
credits.
Spoiler
alert.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. And while we're in this category, there are some movies that, again, are good movies, but I don't think have a chance. Nebraska, Philomena, which not enough people have seen. Both very good movies. Her, I enjoyed a lot. Dallas Buyers Club. We'll talk about that in some other categories in a moment here. What about American Hustle? Does it have a shot? Because, you know, David O. Russell did Silver Linings Playbook, which was so successful last year. Does American Hustle have a chance of being an upset pick for Best Picture?
I think American Hustle got all the love it was going to get from the Golden Globes. I think now we're dealing with the Academy of Motion Picture. I think now we're dealing with the Oscars. And just based on other big events, other, you know, award ceremonies, and also the way a lot of people on the inside of Hollywood are swaying, it seems as if American Hustle was kind of a flash. Everybody enjoyed it. Is it really a movie that you're going to go back and rewatch over and over again? Maybe not. Is it just something that was fun for a moment, whereas 12 Years a Slave is a message that will always exist? It's almost, you know, carved out in the stone. I think 12 Years a Slave is the surefire shot. I think American Hustle was a fun little run, but I don't see that beating 12 Years a Slave. Gravity has a better shot at beating 12 Years a Slave than American Hustle does.
All right, I'm going to pick Gravity in an upset then. I'm going to let you have 12 Years a Slave. I'll take Gravity. What I wish is that the Academy Awards would actually publish the results of their balloting so we could see, was it close? Was it like three votes separated the winner in second place?
Absolutely.
But like American Hustle, they're never going to do
that. That'd be awesome. That'd be so great. And with 51% of the vote, the award goes to, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So here we are with zero precincts counted. Joe is projecting that 12 Years a Slave will be the next president of the United States. Okay.
Yeah, it's a lock.
All right. How about best actor? You've got Christian Bale in American Hustle, Bruce Dern in Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street, Chiwetel Ejiofor in 12 Years a Slave, Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. Does Bruce Dern have a chance considering he's never won an Academy Award after a long career? Do they hand him one this time?
I would imagine that Bruce Dern's got a better shot at maybe getting one of those Lifetime Achievement Awards. But even then, really, what are they celebrating? And the guy's been in some decent flicks, but this to me is not what he's going to win the Academy Award for. I really wish his idiot agent wouldn't have thrown the script that Tarantino wrote out the window practically, because then he would have had a great shot at having a starring role in a Tarantino film that could have helped lobby him into a better position to win down the road. I see this going to Matthew McConaughey 8 days a week.
Yep, I call it a lock, too. His performance in Dallas Buyers Club was terrific. And while we're talking about that, let's just jump right to supporting actor, where you got Barkhad Abdi, who's a rookie performance in Captain Phillips as the Somali pirate, has gotten him some attention. And by the way, it'll be years before anybody says the words Barkhad Abdi again. Then you got Bradley Cooper in American Hustle, Michael Fassbender in 12 Years a Slave, Jonah Hill in The Wolf of Wall Street, and the absolute lock to me, Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club.
I agree with the lock on Jared Leto. Michael Fassbender is the only person in this area that could give him a bit of a run for his money. But just like with Matthew McConaughey, we're dealing with people that really transform themselves, and the Academy tends to always give that an extra push whenever they go extreme with their performance. And, you know, I was talking to Frank just the other day, doing New Release Tuesday, and you forget when you're watching Dallas Buyers Club that Jared Leto is Jared Leto. I mean, it is that good of a performance.
Yeah, really, really terrific. Okay, let's go over to the women here. Best actress, you got Amy Adams in American Hustle, Cate Blanchett in Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock in Gravity, Judi Dench in Philomena, Meryl Streep in August, Osage County. And when Blue Jasmine came out, before all those other movies had even been released, I saw her performance and I said, there's your Academy Award winner right there. Any chance that that's any different on Sunday night?
Only if Mike Evans is able to steal the ballot box and try and continue to say Meryl Streep was great in a huge crap fest of a movie.
Yeah.
This is definitely, definitely, definitely Cate Blanchett's win.
Does the Woody Allen controversy affect that in Hollywood?
It's only going to affect it in Hollywood to the people that really care about reading Perez Hilton websites or look at TMZ like it's CNN. I think the people that are voting are people that would rub elbows with Woody Allen. And there are people out there like Kevin Spacey just today said in an interview, he was discussing the new guy who's going to be taking over, Jesse Eisenberg, doing the Lex Luthor role. And they asked him, what's on your horizon? And Kevin Spacey said straight up, I sent an email numerous times to Woody Allen. He's the only actor's director that I want to work with next in my career. People in Hollywood, people that matter, they don't care about the gossipy tabloid end of things. Otherwise, you wouldn't have Polanski winning an award and not even be able to accept it, but still it happens.
Yep, very well said. All right, here we get to what I think is a competitive category, and that's best actress in a supporting role, supporting actress. You got Sally Hawkins in Blue Jasmine, Jennifer Lawrence, America's Darling in American Hustle, Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave, Julia Roberts in August, Osage County, and June Squibb in Nebraska.
I'm going Lupita. I'm going for, I don't know if you would call it a dark horse or not, but I'm giving it to Lupita, and I would make an additional silver dollar bet with you on the side so I can recoup my losses.
You can't, because I agree with you. While I know that Hollywood loves Jennifer Lawrence, I know there are a lot of people who are going to say, we just gave her an Academy Award last year.
Yeah, isn't that good enough?
And Julia Roberts was okay, and June Squibb was cute as Bruce Dern's wife in Nebraska. Yeah, but not enough to win an award. And Sally Hawkins, nobody's going to remember her because Cate Blanchett was so good in Blue Jasmine. So I think Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave, probably a lock there as well. Let's go to another absolute lock as far as I'm concerned. Is there any animated movie that will beat Frozen this year?
No, unfortunately not. Well, there's nothing against Frozen. It's a really nice, charming tale. I believe, isn't the Croods on there?
Croods, Despicable Me 2, Ernest and Celestine, and The Wind Rises.
Now, for me, as far as enjoyment of a film, seeing the movie The Croods and seeing it with my children, I absolutely love the film. Yes, it's a Nicolas Cage animated film. Yeah, it's all CGI and whatnot, but it, I hate to sound old, like I'm writing a Hallmark card, but man, the story, the message that it conveys to people, I believe it attaches to every audience, every demographic. I thought it was really well done. I went into it thinking, oh God, it's not a Pixar movie. This movie's going to blow. I'm not excited. I was absolutely blown out. But yet Frozen did a very good job, even though it was kind of by the numbers. It was a visual masterpiece to look at. Plus, it's got the nice songs that go along with it, and that's always a great 1-2 punch with an animated film.
Okay, and the last category, director, you've already said it's going to be Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity, and I agree, because as I've said many times, and I've used this phrase many times in describing that movie, this is a paradigm-shifting movie, the same way 2001 was in 1969, the same way Star Wars was in 1977, a guy who pushed technology forward in science fiction in a way that nobody has in a very, very long time. And I think you're going to see a lot of other movie makers who are following in his footsteps. Not that the other people on here, Steve McQueen, Martin Scorsese, Alexander Payne, and David O. Russell, they're all very good storytellers and very good movie makers, but they didn't have the importance of a Gravity for other directors. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. And also, I know Martin Scorsese likes to keep it real with the people he works with, but, I mean, my God, I don't say you fire your editor, but at least have a sit-down talk with him. I mean, The Wolf of Wall Street, good Lord. I mean, the overabundance of debauchery in that is not where I'm not turning my nose up at that. I'm turning it up on the editing. Now, Martin Scorsese's movies have never been edited all that well anyway. He has the most inconsistency to any filmmaker in history, but it always worked because the pace was always moving forward. The Wolf of Wall Street, it got so redundant that it didn't to me convey the message it needed to. That's why it's such a split movie. That movie is so split with audience members, and I think either some people have weird attention deficit things going on, others don't. To me, it's an editing issue. That's why it doesn't go to Martin Scorsese. It goes to Gravity because, you know, like you said, a lot of people are going to take what he did and stand on the shoulder of a giant and take it one step further, but they wouldn't be able to if Gravity didn't exist. You have to give it to that director. If nothing else, he could have won an Academy Award for what he did with the third Harry Potter movie by taking it and completely transforming it, yet keeping it exactly what you wanted and needed it to be. He's a brilliant director, and he deserves all the acclaim.
Speaking of Gravity, do you know how much Sandra Bullock is going to end up making from that movie? Have you seen the number?
Oh, no, she's got like a back-end deal, right?
She got $20 million up front and then 15% of first dollar gross after that. The movie has so far earned over $700 million before DVD sales, before cable TV and other sales. She's going to make at least $70 million from this movie.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
and really, wow, $70 million to hang out in a big green room for about a month or two.
Yeah, but literally hang with cables attached to every part of your body.
No, that's true, man. Look, this is what it is. Sandra Bullock is the new Julia Roberts. That's all there is to it.
All right. Let's see what's going on in the clubs.
All right, here we go. We're starting tonight. We've got 2 Chainz. That's right, 2 Chainz are going to make it rain at the Chaffetz Arena. 7 Minutes in Heaven over at the Firebird. Animated Dead at FUBAR. The Mad Junker is at Lemons. Playing Possum on stage at Delivery Company. 2 Hoosiers and a Hatchet at the Highway 61 Roadhouse. On Saturday, Psycho Beach Party at Plush. Gumbo Head at the Old Rock House. Kentucky Knife Fight at Off-Broadway. Neck Deep over at the Demo. Cat Purse at the Heavy Anchor, Bone Daddy at Turner's on Main Street, and the Southside Johnny Band over at the Firehouse on Lime Ferry Saturday night.
Yeah.
And last but not least.
We should point out Southside Johnny Band includes bass player Dan Strauss.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that famous co-star of George Clooney and best friend of Tim Reynolds.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. We'll be
there. All right, I got five concerts here. One is absolutely fake. The other four are completely real. Are we ready, Paul?
Yep.
All right, here we go. We start with Zydeco Crawdaddies, Saturday at the Highway 61 Roadhouse.
Zydeco.
Zydeco Crawdaddies at the Highway 61 Roadhouse.
That one's real.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, the odds have shifted. Still... Fish, Friday at Fubar. The Lindbergh Babies, Friday at Lemons. Billy's Pillow, Saturday at Cicero's. Knuckle Puck, Saturday at the Demo.
Oh, man, there's a couple of good ones on
I
here.
Know.
I will admit to being a toss-up here between Lindbergh Babies and Knuckle Puck. I'm going to go with Knuckle Puck.
I'm going to go Knuckle Puck.
I'm going to go with Billy's Pillow.
Well, it looks like my streak is over, friends, because Ian just trumps me. Billy's Pillow is the made-up band name.
Wow.
All right, that's going to do it for me, guys. Have a great weekend. I'm Joe Hipperson for the Big 515 KCRS on Entertainment.
Joe's brought to you every week by Oryx, seven locally owned and operated stores here in the St. Louis area.
Words got caught there, didn't they?
I don't know what happened. You know what? I'll get Martin Scorsese's editor. She'll fix that. Nobody will ever hear that problem.
So, post.
Joe's brought to you every week by Oryk, with seven locally owned and operated stores in the St. Louis area and online at Oryk, O-R-E-C-K.com.
All righty. Let's see how traffic looks. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan, this isn't your typical Friday afternoon. Usually the mornings are light, the afternoon's busy, but right now about the only slowdown I see is on westbound 40, and that's a little bit west of Kings Highway through McCausland. You're still a little heavy from 270 through Mason. It does look like we have a bit of a slowdown on westbound 70 near Jennings Station Road, eastbound 270. That's just heavy now from approaching Lindbergh through New Florissant. We do have an accident reported in Pacific, Highway 100 at Highland Acres Drive. And this traffic report brought to you by Constant Contact. Grow your business fast with Constant Contact's powerful online marketing tools, all from one login, all backed by live expert support. Start your free trial today at ConstantContact.com. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm, turn to KTRS for the latest weather updates, road conditions, and school closings. The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
Hi, this is Laurie Heisey from Heisey Advisory Group. There have been a fair share of changes on Wall Street and in Washington. And if you're like most people and want to know how they affect you, call us at 314-909-1116. We know no one likes surprises, so we'll take the time to let you know how these changes could affect your retirement future and offer you the very best personalized attention possible. We believe it is our responsibility to thoroughly understand your goals and dreams, leveraging our knowledge and experience to help you realize them. So call us now at 314-909-1116. Our team will give you a complete review and take a strategic view of your retirement nest egg. We might not be able to change the world around us, but we can help you take control of your financial future. Call us today at 314-909-1116. That's 314-909-1116. At Heisey Advisory Group, you'll get a simple path toward financial security.
Ken Heisey is an investment advisor representative. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Lori Heisey is a licensed insurance representative.
Spring planting season isn't far off, so it's time to head to the forest, Sherwood's Forest, St. Louis's premier nursery and garden center on Barrett Station Road, just south of Manchester. Now is the perfect time to select freshly dug trees, including dogwoods, redbuds, ginkgos, and spruce at special early planting prices. Plant now so you can enjoy the beautiful spring flowers of crab trees, yoshinos, and weeping cherry trees. Extra large shade trees, including October glory maples, zelkovas, and hornbeams, have just arrived. All hardy plants are guaranteed 2 years when Sherwood installs and 1 year when the homeowner installs. There's special pricing for early installations now at Sherwood's Forest, 2651 Barrett Station. Call 314-966-0028 for a landscape design consultation. Sherwood's Forest is open 7 days a week.
Home and garden show face, taking beautiful gardens. Come alive.
It may be winter, clear outside, but you can get a leap on summer at Inland Marine, where owner Jim Dooley invites you to an open house. Friday, February 28th through Sunday, March 2nd. You'll get to see all the new models. You'll get prices as low as the temperature outside on last year's models. Since Inland Marine's not going to be downtown at the boat show, they're passing the savings on to you in what could be termed the Inland Marine Boat Show. You ought to see the showroom. Better yet, you ought to see what's inside the showroom. Boats, boats, and more boats. The Ranger Pro staff will be on hand to answer any questions during the open house while you enjoy free refreshments and food. For sales and service, set your course to Inland Marine Boats in Barnhart, right off the Highway M exit on I-55, and ask for Dave Schnabel for additional savings. It's the Inland Marine Open House, Friday, February 28th and Saturday, March 1st from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m., and Sunday, March 2nd from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Parking is always free. Remember, you get only 18 summers with your kids. Make the most of it with a boat from Inland Marine Boats.
Hey, it's Eddie from Fast Eddie's Bon Air. I know the winter was tough. The walls are closing in. You need a break from the same old. You need to get out of that house. They say the groundhog saw his shadow, so we got 6 more weeks of what we've had. But that's not true. We got 6 more weeks of party all the time at Fast Eddie's Bon Air. Come on in. Enjoy the coldest beer, the best cheap eats, the world-famous peel-and-eat shrimp, the mouth-watering chick on a stick. And don't forget, you can always get lucky at Fast Eddie's. I mean, with the video poker machine. So grab your friends, grab the gang, grab your neighbors, join the fun all year round at Fast Eddie's Bonner. We have that ridiculously huge heated patio. That's right, heated. Heat, like warm. Patio with tons of flat screens. You can catch the best games. You can have the live entertainment out there 5 nights a week. Come on over to Fast Eddie's Bonner. So like Mr. Shannon says,
if you're 21 and in the mood, head on over to Fast Eddie's Bonner in Alton, Illinois.
Thanks, Mr. Shannon.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually NON24. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmorenon24.com or call 855-856-2424.
Hi, Terry Hall here. Most of you know I host This Week in Real Estate on Sundays from 1 to 3, but what you may not know is my primary business is helping people buy and sell their homes, and I'm very experienced at it, 30 years and counting. Selling and buying a home is making a plan together and executing it. So if you're thinking of buying or selling your home, call me, Terry Hall. That's 314-878-2300. That's 878-2300. And join me Sundays from 1 to 3 for This Week in Real Estate right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's all on sale at Kohl's. Go to Kohl's.com to get your extra 15% off shopping pass. Use it in-store or online. Now through Sunday at Kohl's. Kohl's, expect great things.
Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Joe and I just got finished talking about the Oscars, which are on Sunday night. Tomorrow night in Hollywood, there'll be two other movie ceremonies. One is the Independent Spirit Awards, which they give out on the Santa Monica Beach, and which is broadcast on IFC. And the other one, which will not be broadcast, will be the 34th Annual Golden Raspberry Awards, the Razzie Awards for the worst in film. I had a chance to get John Wilson, the guy who has run this thing for 3.5 decades, on the phone. Here's my conversation with him.
Well, let's talk about some of the nominees you have this year. I'm actually a little disappointed because, you know, the Oscars have 9 Best Picture Awards. You only got 6 Worst Picture Awards, and to me, there are some that you overlooked. I can't believe that A Good Day to Die Hard isn't on your list anywhere.
It was on the preliminary list, which may or may not make you happy. The way we do this is throughout the year we have a forum where we have people post their ideas of what we should be looking at, the reasons they think we should. I put links up for box office information, credits at IMDb, reviews at Rotten Tomatoes, and then the official site or Facebook page so you can see how they tried to convince you this movie wasn't as bad as it is.
Yeah.
And from all of that material, we come up with a dozen to 15 choices in each of the categories and finally come up with 5 nominees in each of them. And every year there's stuff that, you know, could have been in there that didn't quite make it. But this is about 750 people voted in the nominating process. this is their opinion, isn't just mine. And I don't always entirely agree with what they choose, but for Worst Picture this year, we have After Earth, the one with Will and Jaden Smith as father and son, that was made to help the son's career, and it really just stomped on it because the movie bombed from almost every perspective.
Yep.
Grown Ups 2, which is Adam Sandler back again. He's what we call a Razzie repeat offender.
Uh-huh.
The Lone Ranger, which I don't know why you would spend $250 million to remake something nobody remembers.
The single biggest flop in Disney history.
Yes, they publicly took a $200 million write-off on that film.
Wow.
Much less expensive, arguably successful at the box office, but still not a good movie. Medea Christmas, which is, I can't remember if it's the seventh or eighth Medea movie that Tyler Perry's done with the wig and the dress. He is nominated for Worst Actress in that.
Yep.
And then the one that our members apparently do see this stuff, a movie almost nobody but our members, I think, even know exists, a thing called Movie 43, which is about four dozen really well-known actors in a series of skits that are trying to make jokes out of things like Hugh Jackman with a scrotum on his neck, Chloe Moretz having her first menstrual period. I mean, it's...
The 43 refers to number of people who paid to see it.
Or the IQ of everyone involved. I don't know.
Possibly. But there was no room in the, because you limited it to five, not like the Oscars. I thought it was six, but it's actually just five. No room for not just Good Day to Die Hard, but Oz the Great and Powerful, or Elysium, or Man of Steel. Was last year a particularly bad year at the movies? You've been doing this for 3.5 decades.
Well, the interesting thing that Hollywood should have learned some from last year, but it doesn't look like it so far this year. The big budget, highly hyped stuff fell on its butt repeatedly throughout the year. Even though Man of Steel did gross something like $200 million, it costs more than that. You've got RIPD, which didn't get in there. Lone Ranger is like the poster child for that.
Yeah.
And then at the other end of the scale, and this is a hopeful sign, an awful lot of little, very personal movies came from out of nowhere and made big bucks, mm-hmm. like 12 Years a Slave or The Butler or what was it? The Way, Way Back, wasn't that?
Yeah.
And what I think the audience is trying to tell the industry, and the industry, it's going to take them a while to learn this, we want movies that the people who made them, they didn't just make them because you handed them money. They made them because they cared about the material.
Right.
That's what, and a lot of that stuff, deservedly, is on the other folks' list for the Oscars tomorrow night.
You have had some of the big actress winners actually show up. There's a very famous YouTube clip from one of your ceremonies of Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
So very happy to have won it, or pretending to be happy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I never in my life thought I would be up here winning a Razzie. I mean, it's not like I ever aspired to be here. But thank you.
I know Sandra Bullock showed up one year. I find it amusing that you don't get any of the comedians who show up in these horrible movies. I'm talking about you, Adam Sandler. None of these people who supposedly have a sense of humor will come.
Yeah, Adam Sandler, I thought it was funny. He has the distinction of having starred in the only movie ever to win every single award we gave a couple of years ago. It won 10 Razzies in 10 categories. By the end of that ceremony, the audience, when we opened the envelope, they were just saying, it's got to be Jack and Jill. But that year, we did the show on April Fool's weekend just to see if that might work better for us than the night before the Oscars. And the night before our show, he was in L.A. to accept, I think it's called a Kids' Choice Award. And he made a beeline to the airport, flew out of town, and gosh, was not available to come to our show the very next day. I do think if you're a comedian and you just keep making stuff that isn't funny, you kind of have to own it. And you're right. An awful lot of these people who sell themselves as having a sense of humor don't when it comes to stuff like this.
Maybe you need to televise your show.
We're working on it. Our next year, we will be 35 years old. We think that's a pretty impressive number.
Yep.
And we are hoping to have either a webcast, a broadcast, or some other means for the public to see this event that we put on. We actually do a full-on show with an opening number and presenters and clips. And, you know, if you weren't paying attention, you might think it was a flattering show. It's obviously not.
Will you have a special category this year? I know in the past you've done worst excuse for a horror movie and worst eye gouging misuse of 3D.
That's one of my favorites. We actually, this year we don't, because we were trying to streamline the show. We're also trying something slightly different. Our curtain time tonight is 9 p.m. because we're on the same day as another event that the industry takes very seriously, but the public doesn't seem to know much about. It's called the Spirit Awards.
Yeah.
But we aren't this year. We talked about doing a special category for the big budget turkey, but that's not competition. That's mathematical, and that would be Lone Ranger, which is all over the ballot.
Have you ever heard from any of the producers, directors, not the actors, but people who've been involved in these movies, even from a key grip? Have you ever run into any of them and said, you know what, you were absolutely right. That one deserved the Razzie.
Well, we've negotiated trying to get people to show. In fact, we do know our winners, obviously, and we're trying all week to try to get somebody to show up. Publicly, they won't. Privately, many of them do, you know, come on, when the grosses are that awful and the reviews are that bad,
yeah,
you know it.
Has there ever been an Oscar-Razzie combo for any movie? It won at both events?
There twice in our history, and we've had the exact same thing nominated for both. It didn't win either time. Amy Irving as Barbara Streisand's wife in Yentl, and James Coco as Marsha Mason's gay best friend in a thing called Only When I Laugh. But it's the closest thing to that is Sandra Bullock won both an Oscar and a Razzie the same year for two different films.
I remember that.
5 years ago.
She actually showed up at their awards that year. That's John Wilson, the guy behind the Razzie Awards, which will be handed out tomorrow at 9 o'clock Pacific time, 11 o'clock p.m. our time. So you'll hear about those results on Monday, or rather on Sunday, the same day that the Academy Awards are handed out. It's 4:54 at the Big 550. Bill Cleveland coming up.
And we're going to look at traffic again. A pretty uneventful afternoon right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
No Tim?
I don't think
no
so.
No Tim.
All right. No Tim.
Well, it's uneventful, so we don't need Tim.
It is
that's
uneventful.
Right. He said not much was going on.
Not much is going on, so I guess traffic's moving pretty well.
And that's traffic from the Big 550 KTRS.
Thanks. That's great.
The Big 550 celebrates unsung Black American heroes, people you may not have heard of who helped make our way of life possible. Presented by Londoff Chevrolet.
Hi, I'm Kelly Jackson. When you push the button on your next flight to call the flight attendant, thank Miriam Benjamin, a Washington, D.C. teacher who received the patent in 1888 for what she called the gong chair for hotels. It worked by pressing a small button on the back of a chair, which would relay a signal to an attendant, and a light would illuminate that allowed the attendant to see which guest was in need of assistance.
Stay tuned during February as we celebrate Black History Month. Presented by Londoff Chevrolet on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, I'm George, the chaplain at Brooking Park Retirement Community. At Brooking Park, our amazing staff cares deeply about every resident. The friendly faces that you meet are not only highly trained professionals, they're the sort of people who truly enjoy working at Brooking Park every day. Our dedication is reflected in the longevity of many of our staff members. There's Mary, a nurse who's been here 16 years, and there's Catherine, who's been creating memories with residents since 2000. Myself, I've been here for almost 11 years, and I'm looking forward to many more years of helping families to worry less. It's our dedication to service that makes our residents feel so warm and welcome, and I know you'll feel the same way once you get to meet us. Call Amy at 314-576-5545 to arrange a personal tour, or visit us online at brookingpark.org. Better yet, drop on by for a visit. We're in Chesterfield, across from St. Luke's Hospital. Let me show you the uniquely caring people of Brooking Park and tell them George sent you. I'll be glad to say hi.
Brooking Park, sponsored by St. Andrew's Resources for Seniors.
And my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm hungry.
Looking to try a new local restaurant?
Yes, I am.
Search Kuna Foods' new dining website, bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com. Like them on Facebook. That's bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com.
Thanks.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, everybody, and a good Friday afternoon. A jailhouse video of Justin Bieber has been released that shows him unsteady on his feet, losing his balance and appearing to stumble. He's already calling it the most entertaining video Bieber has ever made. And experts say it's now over for the ousted leader of Ukraine. They say he'll likely be replaced in the coming weeks by Jay Leno.
Ready to
move right in. And in an online video this week, President Obama and Joe Biden were seen running around the White House. I don't know. Kind of like outrageous. I mean, one of those guys has better things to do.
You'd think. Yeah, you'd think one of them.
I'm stunned because I'm trying to kind of figure out who's with one. With. I know.
One of them. Thanks for the help, Peon.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
I can count on Peon for the moral support.
We call him the safety net.
Yeah.
Finally. A moment to. Couldn't believe this. The magician Teller from Penn and Teller has broken a 20-year public silence. How about that?
Yeah.
It's pretty dramatic. Apparently the Kardashians were on TV and he shouted, "Turn that off!"
Couldn't take it anymore.
He ruined it. The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company, and from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thanks, Bill. Hey, a heads up for you and anybody else who is a big fan of Johnny Carson as the host of The Tonight Show. TCM is going to be airing more Carson segments starting on Tuesday night. The first one they're going to have is with Jimmy Stewart from 1976, Jack Lemmon from 1979, Sally Field and Diane Keaton and Angie Dickinson and Sammy Davis Jr.
I dig that, babe.
And then the next week they're doing Bob Hope and Bing Crosby and Tony Randall and Truman Capote and Gregory Peck and Lauren Bacall. All big stars, classic stuff. Carson on TCM will air Tuesday nights beginning this Tuesday. This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis. From